Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today's date is September 27th, 2006. Today's session is entitled Holden Faith Hike, presented by Dale Jampgard, number 2006-03. Let's listen in.
Loving God, be with us today that as we seek to know you, you will help us know your presence, your love, your guidance, your spirit, and your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome. I'm excited about today. It was this summer that we had the privilege of going out on the ferry boat with Paul Henderley, the director, and he was talking about the challenges of Holden Village and wondering, you know, what the future of Holden Village could or should be like or about. And I said, well, after giving it some thought, I wrote to him and I said, well, maybe a different kind of experience might serve some purpose at Holden Village. And Holden has always had the hour and 15-minute lecture discussion pattern and then forums in the evening. And I said, what about an all-day workshop? And he had this puzzled look on his face. He said, what? I'm sure he wondered about it. But I said, I'd like to do one and just see how people experience it, receive it, and whether it has any possibility for the future. So you are guinea pigs. Welcome to today. And I appreciate your the venturesome spirit that you must have to get you here. The theme for the week, as those who have been in sessions know, is alive to God in Christ Jesus. And it raises the question, what does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to be alive to God? What, who is the God that we relate to? And how and what is it like to be in Christ Jesus? So those are the themes that we'll be looking at today. This is experiential, and I want you to know that I will guide you and suggest things for you to do to guide you into certain kinds of experience. I also want to say I don't program the Holy Spirit. no guarantees. In other words, I don't make this a spiritual journey, you do. I will guide you into some experiences, and in the same way with the liturgy. The liturgy doesn't create the Spirit, it gives us an opportunity to know the Spirit. And so in that way we do it in faith and trust that God's presence is here and God makes herself known. But also then I want to say, if there's anything that I ask you to do that you feel uncomfortable with, feel free to choose not to do it and just sit quietly and go along with what happens. But you don't need to necessarily do what I ask you to do. Also, we're going to take a break, and there are potties not in this building, but if you go in the door of the village center and straight that way, there's one back in the corner. If you go up the steps to the hotel and in on the lowest level, you'll find one on the lowest level, and then there's one on the upper level. People sometimes don't know where those are. We, as we approach life, sometimes are not sure what we're going to find. So I would like to show you a couple of pictures. There are the Rorschach tests, you know, but I would like to have you decide which one of these pictures is your favorite sculpture. Just say right or left to yourself. To have you turn to someone near you and tell them why you thought one was your favorite. Well, let's see, did we have any fights? But I bet we had differences. And now as you look at them, can you see that you are looking at the same sculpture? This sculpture is in the park in Brisbane, Australia. And I took one picture from one side and another picture from another side. Now, if that happens with a material object, how much more likely when we stand in front of the mysteries of life? And so we always need to ask the question, is there more that I'm not seeing? And so I'm concerned if a person begins to say, I've got the answer, and it's boiled down to this. And yet we need to decide what it is we trust and believe in and so forth. So we need both that kind of sense that we have, a sense of the reality, But at the same time, remain open to the mystery. And that for me is our Christian faith. And so what we're about today is again looking again at some of our beliefs and seeing if we can see more. One of the ways that this is happening in our society, we had a physics called the Newtonian or Cartesian physics that said, well, we've got things pretty well figured out. And by the way, I'm going to repeat some things that we had in sessions, because some came to some and not others, and some didn't come to any, and so it will be some repetition. But I'll try to, I'm going to summarize some of the things we did in session. But anyway, in the 1900s, even into the mid-1900s, we felt we were getting close. We had things pretty well figured out. We had done some amazing things. We had gone to the moon. We had developed nuclear power and done amazing things with our technology. Medical science was quite sure they had things figured out. However, they hadn't looked at the placebo effect. Why? I don't know. But it didn't fit the test tube. And so it was kind of, well, maybe there's something to it, but, or the power of prayer. And but notice the change that's taking place. And also then, we used Newtonian physics and Cartesian physics to understand the Bible in ways that we weren't aware of. But it affected how we interpreted the Bible. And so part of what I'm wanting to do is raise some questions about some of our assumptions that the Bible is all this way, and maybe it's more this way if we look at it from another side. Just a little bit of a summary of some of these new views. The quantum and relativity sciences and the very new emerging noetic science. Noetic, N-O-E-T-I-C. Means the way of knowing, the science of the way of knowing. Anyway, some of the things that are emerging. One, as science has looked down below the atom, first with the atom, they tell us that we're made up of 99% space, which again is hard to perceive, but it's hard to think of being filled with light if we're in it. You know, how does light fill in it? So biblical language like that just kind of didn't make, well, that must, to be enlightened really means head knowledge rather than any kind of actual light happening. And that's one way we tended to then use our physics to say, well, that couldn't be, but what it really means is this. But anyway, as they looked down at the subatomic level, they began to discover some things. One is that things are more like a happening. The particles can be happen very rapidly, are like momentary bursts of energy. And I read someplace that the boson was a momentary burst of energy that lasts a millionth of a millionth of a millionth of a second. And that in a lot of ways we're made up on the subatomic level of this, what has been called the flow of quantum soup. It's dynamic, it's happening. So rather than being an it, if we begin to sense of ourselves that we're always happening, we're a dynamic happening, then we begin to maybe have a different sense of what our self is. Another one that I, well, let me first go on to these. Another one is interconnectivity, that everything seems to be somehow interactive with everything else. And they've done experiments where from neon light photons flowing in different directions, if they change the photon that flowed in this direction, it changes the photon that went in the opposite direction. And how these photons, and their projection is from the sun, no matter how far the photons are away, that somehow they're interconnected. And it's like, we have no concept of how that could be. And yet, everything seems to be dynamically interactive and interconnected. In the non-locality an electron can appear in one place and then disappear and appear in another place. And we have no idea how it gets from one place to another. So it's like we can't be sure that it's there because it was there a second ago. It may not be there the next second. And so non-locality also that, well, when we get to another flow, I'll deal with I'm trying to summarize a lot of stuff quickly here. And another one, because things seem to be so sensitive at the subatomic level, there has developed, they've added the dimension of the observer. We've had the space and time and matter and energy, but now we've added the factor of the observer, because what is realized is whatever we use to observe the phenomena with seems to change the phenomena. So that we can never really know what was there, because whatever means we have of observing it probably has changed it. And so that's called the Heisenberg principle of indeterminacy. Now, for physics that wants to nail things down and say exactly what is and what isn't, imagine how frustrating that is. That they have difficulty. So we've moved into a lot of the realm of theory. Well, this is how we think it. This is how it seems to operate. We can't say exactly what it is, where it is, but it operates in this way, and that's how we're developing the theories of quantum and relativity physics. Well, there's a new field that is just emerging. It's the noetic science. Dean Radin is a physicist and a statistician, and he has reviewed all of the research done on the paranormal, mental telepathy, clairvoyance, precognition. Precognition is knowing what's going to happen in the future, and kinesthetics, which is the mind affecting matter. Now, we all know that this can happen because Jesus changed water to wine. So? But this is all new in terms of actually thinking about it in science. Now, as his conclusions, after reviewing all of the research, and he would analyze the research methods, and then he would analyze these statistical probabilities, and he has this book that just came out called Entanglement, in which he, his name is Dean Radin, R-A-D-I-N. And he said there just seems to be incontrovertible evidence that something happens, that there's a reality. And you've heard, I'm sure, of places even like Harvard doing research on prayer. And all the stories you hear from people about how these things happen in life. I just think of one little example. Sheldrake, a fellow who studies this stuff down in California, did a study where he put cameras to observe pets, like a dog. And when the owner of the dog gets up from his desk to come home, the dog gets up and goes to the door. And they did it where he would get up at various times of the day, different times, and yet that would happen. He devised a way. He said, I think we can predict earthquakes. So he proposed setting up a website. And he said, if you find your pet acting very erratically, call in and just say, erratic. And if we get a lot of bumps like that, we know that we're about ready to have an earthquake. Because the animals seem to know well ahead of the time that the earthquake happens. Or another one, you've heard of homing pigeons, and research has been done with them. And then in one situation, people in England were doing a study, and a homing pigeon had been taken to Iraq or Iran or somewhere in that area, and had stayed there and had babies. And the babies returned to the location of the home. So we're beginning to look at all of these mysteries and say, what could possibly explain it? And so what is emerging is that not only is consciousness or thought a product of the brain, which has been our way of understanding it, from the Newtonian approach is to start analyzing the matter and seeing what the matter does and so forth. And so thought has been thought of as the product of the brain. And they are moving now to the concept that there is a field of consciousness that we somehow tune into. And that field of consciousness doesn't seem to be bound by time, in that people have experiences of knowing ahead of time when something is going to happen. And it's such a good example, I need to share it. But anyway, I did a thing with a stewardess, and most of you heard this. But anyway, I tried to see what I could know about her as she was coming down the line in an airplane. And I knew, one, that there was a man in her life sitting at a desk with accounting papers. I knew, two, she had some trouble around the heart, and she said yes. Three, I knew that she had, and she was taking care of two small children and hadn't had a baby. And fourth, I knew that she was going to meet a friend named Laura. And she told me she was going to meet friends in Portland, but none of them was named Laura. We were coming off the airplane, walking together, and all of a sudden a person from the office down there came up and hugged her, and she turned to me and said, I want you to meet my friend Laura. I had no possible way of knowing that. But it was so accurate. So it just raises that question, how? And I was sitting with a dear friend. My wife and I had gone over to help a woman take care of her husband, who had been ill for quite a while, and people had been going in and helping them take care. So this was just another night. And I went, they took care of him until about 12:30, and then I came in and I sat down with him, and he was sleeping, and so I just shared some things very softly, and then I just sat and was very present to him. I just said, I'll be with you, I'm here. And I didn't try to do anything, but just be with. And all of a sudden, it came to me, and again, I don't know how to say, he will die at 4:58. At about 4:30, his breathing got heavier, and at 4:58, how can one know that? So out of personal experiences, out of research, they've been doing studies with where they had, they took participants and would show, they would wire their heart and their head and their heart. Just seeing if you're paying attention. And then they would show them 20 different pictures and to see when they would react. Now, some of the pictures were very calming and some of the pictures were very disturbing. And so they found that people would react to the disturbing pictures. What they didn't anticipate is that both the head and the brain would react 3 to 5 seconds before the picture was shown. And the heart reacted faster than the brain. So again, some indication of precognition. I don't want to explain it. Also, where does this take us? Let's get back down. Jesus says, seek first the reign of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. That God is active, and God is both in us, and God is nowhere. That's from Martin Luther, not a physicist, by the way. He's a non-localist, but he holds the paradox. God is both in us and nowhere. So then we read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and how? God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice the indication there that somehow in the word affected the shape and the creation of matter. Then in John, first verse, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and the Word becomes flesh. Now, we've always attributed that to just another word for God. But the theories now are moving to say, wait a minute, there seems to be a consciousness that affects not only living people, but affects matter. And so that maybe God didn't just say the word at the beginning, but maybe God is always saying the word that becomes reality. Maybe creation is ongoing. Again, Newtonian science says the universe is like a machine. It has its parts and it all functions. Now they're saying, no, the universe is expanding and the universe is recreating itself in dynamic ways. So again, we begin to open up that interpretation and say, well, maybe God didn't just create the world and then sit out there and watch it. Maybe God is somehow involved. Teilhard Chardin had the concept of the new sphere, an envelope of mind around the world. So I (clears Jesus then says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He's quoting the Old Testament. Could it be that God is always saying the word, God is always saying your name, that becomes you? In that kind of framework, other things begin to make sense to us. Now, I pass these out in class, so if you have one already, please use that. But those who don't have one of these, raise your hand and I'll... Well, I got plenty if you want. I wasn't sure I had enough for everyone. Is this the way it is? I don't know, but as I take this new kind of understanding and hear scriptures again, for instance, I hear Jesus saying, if your eye is sound, your whole body will become full of light, and you will be bright as a lamp. So, and then receive the Spirit. Receive the light. Be filled with the light. These kinds of phrases, be filled with the Spirit. It's like there's an ongoing dynamic happening. And so what I'm posing here as a possible understanding is that when God says, Jesus says, seek first the reign of God, that the reign of God is God at work with love, light, and Spirit. God is present in the world and is coming to us. And that is, he says the word, it has an effect. It is part of the life of creation. Jesus is the light of life coming into the world. So it sounds more like a dynamic experience than I'm here and God is there. With this idea then, faith is not, is certainly belief as a part of it, but faith is a participation. If your eye is sound, your whole body becomes full of light. It's like a tree. The tree needs to open up the leaves, the flowers open up and receive and let themselves be filled. And a tree has this movement where it moves down into its roots and then up and filled, down into its roots. This is the rhythm of a tree and of plants. And so how to remain grounded, to go into our roots and yet go also up and open up to receive the light. To me seems to be a way of understanding. So what is a person? Well, we've tended to think of this is the person, this it. And I shared with you the wisdom of Meister Eckhart from the 12th century. I ask people, where is the soul? And they tend to say, the soul is in here, which again is tending to say that my material body is more real, is more me, and the soul is kind of a part of it. And Meister Eckhart says, oh no, the soul is not in the body is in the soul. So, again, we're beginning to think in terms of fields of happening. What we realize again from physics is these are just the smaller moving particles. We have a heat body, an olfactory body, a magnetic body, an electrical body, an energy body. And then, when someone knows that something happened to a loved one 3,000 miles away, they have a telepathic body. So just how big is our body? How big is the soul? And we can begin then to see that when we are together, it's not just physical distance, but that there are all kinds of interactions and connections with people that are real. Any questions or comments? Yes?
In quantum physics, we say the body is where you have the greatest density of quantum waves intersecting. And instead of saying quantum waves, you could say where the soul is, greatest density where the soul is intersecting. And I think that's a marvelous idea that coincides with what modern physicists are saying.
Okay. Father Dale has joined us, and you may not have had a chance to meet him. He's an Orthodox priest and is here in the village for a couple months, but he's also studied a lot of physics as well as theology. And I happened to meet him yesterday, and boy, did we get into it all of a sudden. So welcome. Thank you. Now,
consciousness brought us together.
Yes.
That was no accident.
I saw this guy sit down there, and I was getting ready. And all of a sudden, I said, go sit down. I did. Okay. I have talked enough. Ralph here, in his meditation last night, talked about be still. And emphasize the importance. But why is that important? I threw the word practical in this morning when Paul announced what we were doing, because some people think of maybe meditation and other things as kind of impractical. But be still is very practical in life. One is we've got a lot of noise going on in us. And that noise often keeps us from being very present to the now or having a sense of being. We're so busy. And what that noise is about is that we are reworking the past. We are trying to justify what the past was like and about. Sometimes we are hanging on to the past with guilts, resentments, hostilities, etc. And so we can spend a great deal of time on the past. a wife who may, or a husband or wife who has a conflict, and all of a sudden one of them starts recounting, well, you did this and this and this and this. It goes back 20 years. really has hung on to the past, which keeps one from being present. But all of that is going on in us. And then the other way, we have remembering.
This red one.
We have three focuses for our attention. One is remembering the past, one is anticipating the future, and one is being aware of the present. Now, if we spend most of our energy trying to rework the past and trying to make the future safe, we have very little energy left to be aware and alive in the present. That's why Jesus died. Because he said, this is forgiven. Give up what has gone on in the past. Learn from it, but then let it go. And fear not, for I am with you. I have risen. The future cannot destroy you. So let go of all that anxiety that is wasting a lot of your energy and become present to the now. Become aware. So let's explore that. What I'd like to have you do is put your papers and pencils and everything down. So you won't need those. Stand up and kind of shake your hands and move your body a moment to help that circulation. I know I need this even more now. Okay. And then let yourself sit down with your legs a little apart, your feet flat on the floor, with your spine kind of gently straight, and let your shoulders and your head kind of sit on your spine. Just sit down like that and place your palms of your hands face down on your legs. And now awareness is being with what is happening. There is no need to try to change anything or make something happen. So be with now, with your breathing. Just watch it. Now move your awareness down to your right foot. Be aware of how it rests on the floor. Notice the balls of your feet and your toes. The arch of your foot. Your ankles, stay with your foot, and as you are with your foot, you may notice some warming, some tingling, Now notice the difference between your right foot and your left foot. and move your awareness to your left foot, the ball of your foot, your toes, your arch. Now be aware of both feet. Your ankles. Your calves. Your knees. You may notice some letting go. Your thighs. Be aware of both legs. Move your awareness to your buttocks and be aware of the extent to which you're trusting the chair. Move your awareness to your spine. Be with your spine up between your shoulder blades. You may notice some letting go. Your shoulders. And the base of your skull. Your awareness to your right shoulder, your socket, your right bicep, your elbow, your forearm. Your wrist, the palm of your hand, again you may note some warming and tingling. Be aware of your whole right arm. Notice the difference between your right arm and left arm. Be with your left arm in the same way you were just with your right arm, and notice what happens. move your awareness to your abdomen. Your solar plexus. Be with the beat of your heart. Notice your breathing. Move your awareness up into your throat. Your mouth. Your lips, your jaw, your nostrils. Temples, and behind your eyes. And bring your awareness to the top of your head. Be aware of your whole body. Your heart. Your mind. Your soul. Now be present to the light of life, the brilliance of the transfigured Christ. And your whole body will be filled with light. Let that light go into the corners of darkness, places of fear, of pain, of suffering, of heartache. Light of life heals and casts out darkness. That you might become bright as a lamp. Let that light glow. For Jesus says you are the light of the world. Let your good works show that others might give glory to God. Be still and filled. Now bring your awareness to yourself, your breathing. Soul, become present to the room. Slowly let your eyes open, remaining soft. Now I invite you to move and find someone that you don't know real well, and the two of you join two others and share what it was you noticed about this experience. And so when you're ready, please rise and move around, find someone that you don't know well, and join with two others. Okay, let's reflect a few moments here. What are some of the things that you noticed, and what did you make of it?
Well, I have a friend who says, oh, my heart is beating fast, and you know, or it's really slow or something, and I never feel my heart. But this time, I felt it pulsing through my whole body as we went up and went down. Mm.
Could you hear that?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay.
I was keenly aware of your words about noise and busy and how much that's a part of our life and how hard it is to just be still and focus on right now.
Yes.
I did not want to come back.
Okay.
It was great to stay there.
Yes, yes. It's powerful.
Yeah, how long did that extra, that last absolute crack time?
Oh, probably 12 minutes.
Okay.
Yes.
I felt when we were talking about light, I felt like there was a bright light, real bright, right up here, up above my eye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at the power of control, the cooperation of your word, move here, move there. And I did. Mentally cooperated.
Thank you for that. You let yourself be guided.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's easier right here without distractions. You know, the phone didn't ring. You know, I didn't have to go get something off the stove or do something. You know, this is great with quiet. I have nothing else to do right now.
I definitely think it's a practice in concentration,
mm-hmm. you know?
And it also takes, I think the breathing, if I would concentrate on the breathing, it helped me to be still, first of all, and relax and zoom in maybe.
Okay.
You could definitely feel like one side, you know, relaxing all the way and feeling heavy, felt it kind of heavy.
And then you notice the other side?
Yeah, that one. We went to the other side.
But the other side?
No, wasn't that way.
It wasn't relaxed?
No.
Right. So one becomes aware of how much tension is going on in us. And that's about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I had sprained my ankle about a week and a half before we came, and you started with your right foot and went over, and I said, I can hardly wait to go over to the left foot. It really did make a difference. I could feel it get warm, and it's almost like you could feel it starting, you know, and it's been healing, but I think it speeds it up.
Well, as we become aware of the noise, we then also realize how difficult it may be to hear God speak to us. The more subtle communications. And so the quieting. Notice, I didn't tell you to relax. You know the problem with relaxing?
Doing something.
Well, I could say relax. Okay, and you use your mind to make yourself relax. And then as soon as your mind thinks of something else, your body goes right back to the tension. So that's why awareness is different. It is being with. Being with. Yes, Ralph.
With my problem of hearing, I have to lip read in order to hear you.
Okay.
Okay, I can hear, but I have to also lip read. Therefore, I had to keep my eyes open.
That was fine.
Yeah, well, but it isn't quite so fine, because then every time that someone made a move and so forth, my eyes would catch that. And then, like you said, you'd be in it and then you'd go out of it. I've been through the experience before. The other time, we happened to be lying flat on the floor and did that exercise. Then I was able to hear, and then I was able to get fully into it. This time, each time that I would get into the depth of it, then something would happen, and therefore my concentration just didn't allow me to stay, but I was in and out all the time. But that's part of the experience was the fact that of the you need the silence and you need the ability to maintain that concentration, I guess would be the word I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you notice someone coming upstairs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And how did you handle that?
It was a little bit strange. Walking in didn't bother me, but the music did. I had a hard time with the music. When they started playing music to keep focused.
What music? Wizard music?
Yes.
At the end?
Near the end.
Oh, at the end.
It was upstairs.
When I started talking about light.
Oh, it was on the tape.
That was
it. Oh, somebody came in and started playing upstairs.
No, my wife played some music when I started talking about light.
I was worried about it. I thought somebody should go up and tell me that. You want to fix it.
It was such a blessing to me. It was just like a prayer. Mm-hmm. That soft music is so soothing. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like the music.
Okay. Well, this was a good chance to notice what you can do. When there are distractions, you can acknowledge them. Oh, someone's walking in upstairs, and go right back to being present. Or you can turn your attention and say, gee, I wonder what they're doing, what they're up to, what, you know, what are they worried about? All this kind of thing. We can get involved in the distractions and taken away from our presence. This, we talk about presence in the invocation. And we say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So part of being alive to God is being present too. And I think you got in touch with all the agendas going on, which detract from presence. It makes it difficult to be present when we have all of this stuff going on. I know I sit in church and man, my mind can go here, there, and everywhere. And to figure out how to become really present and sense God's presence, to be and be with God, is part of what this is about. Also, we have this concept, the peace of God that passes all understanding. To discover that deep sense of peace, which is again grows out of the death and resurrection, as we let go, as we give up what has gone before in forgiveness, and as we hear, fear not, there's nothing that can destroy you in the future. So let yourself be present. This kind of peace not only helps us see, hear, be present, love, it enables all of the things that we want to do. This kind of state activates what is called the parasympathetic system. We have a sympathetic system and a parasympathetic system. The sympathetic is the gearing up, ready to fight or flee. And the sympathetic is a centering, a letting go. And we need the parasympathetic time because it levels out the wave action, the coherence of our different organs. An example, for instance, I used to think about a sermon and I had to have it written by Thursday in this large church I was serving. So, but I would read and study and have all these different ideas, but there didn't seem to be any flow to it. And then I'd take a hot shower. And all of a sudden, things would fall in place, and I say, yeah, wow. And but the calming activates the parasympathetic, which then enhances the functioning, the clarity of the mind, and enhances the functioning of our different organs. So it's a very practical thing. It is very important for our health. And we sometimes think, you know, it's got to do with God and so forth, and it does, but it's not just God-oriented, it's very earth-oriented and earth-valuable. Any other thoughts or questions, how you connect it with other things?
Just wondering why my feet still feel warm and tingly. I should have left that behind. Almost off the ground.
Yeah.
I just wondered why that. I mean, I didn't notice it before, but now as I sit here, I have a fascinating connection.
That's wonderful. There was tension that did constrict the blood flow. And as you let go of that tension, the blood flows down and warms and tingles. Okay, we're going to take a break, and if you'll just wait till I've finished. I want to start. You know, this is not a normal break. Everything here is different. So if you will wait just a moment, And maybe if you could come and help us, we will bring you, we're going to have a break here, and we will have time when we can move around. But first I want to bring you some juice and cookie, and have you receive that right where you are, and because I'm going to guide you in receiving it. Please don't eat them until I die.